Welcome to Wannabe Clutter-Free, formerly Wannabe Minimalist, the podcast for busy families who are tired of the chaos, fed up with being overwhelmed, and ready to enjoy life again. Each week, we talk about how to let go of the clutter so that you can focus on the things that actually matter. And it's not just physical clutter. We talk about the mental and emotional stuff too, because if it's holding you back, it's time to ditch it. I share what I've done in my own life to declutter, organize, and calm the chaos, but you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's practical, doable, and simple for those of us that want to be clutter-free. You know how life doesn't stick to a schedule? Well, why should your paycheck? That's where EarnIn comes in. It's an app that lets you access the money you've earned right when you need it, not just on payday. Imagine this. Your dog suddenly needs a vet, or your kid has a little accident and needs a dentist, ASAP. We've been there, and waiting for your payday in those situations just doesn't make sense, and it adds unnecessary stress. With EarnIn, you can pull up to $100 per day or up to $750 each pay period directly from your earnings without the crazy fees or interest rates. It's super simple. Download the EarnIn app, verify your paycheck, and get access to your earnings as you earn them. You decide what to tip, and whatever you use gets settled on your next payday. More than 3.5 million users are finding relief and a sense of security with EarnIn, calling it a lifeline for financial stability. That peace of mind, it's priceless, and it could be yours. Ready to give it a try? Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in clutter under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help out the show. That's clutter under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. You're listening to Wannabe Clutter-Free, formerly Wannabe Minimalist, with Deanna Yates, episode number 158. Today is a reversed guest episode. Every once in a while, I like to share interviews that I've done on other shows because I feel like the information is super helpful or gives you another glimpse into this whole living clutter-free thing. I was invited by Amy to help her overcome clutter in her home, so stay tuned to find out where she struggles and what I suggest she lets go of. Hey there, my wannabe clutter-free friend. I hope you are having a wonderful day. If you are returning, welcome back. As always, I am so excited that you are here. And if this is your first time here, welcome to the show. I hope you like what you hear and that it helps you in your life and in your home. It is an absolutely gorgeous day in San Diego, and I finally feel like the weather is living up to our sunny reputation. It has been such a gloomy year, and you could see it and feel it in the community. People were really getting down about not seeing the sun. And I guess that makes sense, though. People often move here for the weather, and when it's not great and it seems to drag on and on without end, well, it can wear on you, especially because there is nothing you can do about it. And I can't help but chuckle about it because having lived in Chicago, Munich, Colorado, and Iowa, I know what it's like to live through truly bad weather. But for now, I am just happy to see the sun again, and I'm happy that the energy in the city is buzzing again. It fills me up, and you can really feel it's palpable. So I'm really looking forward to it. But you are not here to talk about the weather. You are here to chat about living clutter-free, and today is going to be a fun episode. I am in the hot seat as a guest on the Grounded in Maine podcast, where the host, Amy Fagan, asks all about decluttering and minimalism as she struggles with what she calls, quote, the hoarding gene, end quote. I shared some real-life tips with Amy that she could implement right away, and we discussed the physical and mental benefits of having less stuff. So give it a listen, and then make sure to check out Amy's show, too. The Grounded in Maine podcast is described as an open conversation about being mindful of how we show up for the world. Amy discusses the role we play in sustainability, including gardening and preserving, recycling and composting, and even household DIY. It's a podcast about our collective commitment to ecological responsibility and learning different ways to be part of the solution. And I've been enjoying her shows as she has a variety of guests, so it's really fun to listen to. I'll leave a link in the show notes, or you can head over to my website, wannabeclutterfree.com/158, to get the links and to find more resources from me. Again, that's wannabeclutterfree.com/158. And one quick note to mention, this was recorded before my podcast name change was final, so you will hear us refer to wannabe minimalist instead of wannabe clutter-free. In fact, the mix-up between the names was one of the final deciding factors for me to finally commit and go all in on the name change. And now, on to my conversation with Amy.
Thank you so much for listening to Grounded in Maine today. My name is Amy Fagan. My guest today is Deanna Yates, who I met on Facebook, where I meet a lot of people. Deanna has her own podcast. It is called Wannabe Clutter-Free, Wannabe Minimalist. That's what it is. Her Instagram page is Wannabe Clutter-Free. I don't know why I can't get that. Anyway, Deanna is super inspiring. She has lived quite the life, and she has inspired me so much. I have the hoarder gene in me, and I fight it constantly, and I am completely inspired to start weeding things out. In fact, I'm recording this intro 2 weeks later, and just yesterday I filled up a huge box full of shoes that I didn't need and clothes that I haven't worn in a while, and that's all because of her. I haven't stopped thinking about it since I talked to her, and I just think she's wonderful, and because of her clutter-free life, she has so much freedom in her life, and she can do things that I definitely can't do. I'd feel like I can't do. Anyway, I think she's wonderful. I hope that you'll learn something from this. It's not just get rid of your junk. There's more to it than that. And she's not one of those all or nothing type people that are just like, you have to get rid of everything. I love that about her.
We're meeting face-to-face today for the first time. She's got a lot of experience in this. So Deanna, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Amy, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yay. So wannabe minimalist. Are you a legit minimalist?
So that term, I think, is very loaded. And I think it has a lot of different meanings for a lot of different people. So I say wannabe because, look, I'm a suburban mom. I have a 9-year-old daughter. To say that I'm going to have 100 items is not realistic. But to strive to be intentional about the things I bring into my home and be minimalist in my purchasing of new items, yeah, definitely. I definitely feel like I treasure experiences over things. For me, it is just more about intention than it is about the set number of items we have. I want to make sure that the things we keep are the things that actually serve a purpose for us. And so that's kind of where that part comes from. Yeah.
Wow. Is 100 things, is that like a firm rule?
No, there's a guy out there that talked about only having 100 personal items. And I think people just see through this kind of stuff now, because it wasn't like there were only 100 things in his house, because he was a dad. He was a husband. He had a kid, right? So it was his personal items, not necessarily all of the things. And so I think it can get really complicated when people are like, well, how many of these things do I need? And it's like, well, how many feel right to you? There's no set number. There's no, life is what you make of it, right? There's no set. And for me, it's always just striving to be a little bit better, do a little bit better, be a little more conscientious about what I'm doing, learn from past mistakes, learn from purchases I made that weren't the best choice. And I just love that, being learning, being curious, and just taking life as it comes and not being so rigid with myself and with other people, right?
Right. Oh my gosh. Yes. The rigid part is so, it's so spot on, because people feel like you have to be like, you're all in or you're all out. And that's just, yeah, it's unreasonable, because we're human, like you said, and
yes,
we have lives, and it's not, everything is not about the stuff that we have. And I think that's so awesome. And I just love the way that you think about that, because it's true. It's so true. It's not necessarily having as little as possible, but what you have means something and is functional. That's amazing. Very cool. Yeah. And how did you get here? Have you always had that mindset?
Well, I think I've always been a saver. I think I've always been somebody that has saved my money, even from when I was a little kid. There's the story of kind of one of my biggest purchases that I ever made as a kid. I was 10 years old and we didn't have any cats and I really wanted a cat. We had a dog. I really wanted a cat. And my parents said, well, you can buy one. Now, I will say, I'm going to date myself here. This was pre-rescues being a thing. This is all that. Okay. So nobody give me hate for not getting a rescue cat and get a purebred. I was 10. Please be nice. But I paid $250 for this cat back in 1990. So I've always been a saver. I've always wanted the quality over the quantity.
That's what it costs to get a rescue right now, right?
Well, there you go. See, no, because we don't have any pets now. It's not true. We just got a betta fish for our daughter. So she's in heaven. She loves it. We just got it yesterday.
They're beautiful. Their fins are so like flowy.
They are gorgeous. Yeah.
They just don't like others. They just don't play well.
Right. Very solo. They don't play well with others. So I think that's a really good story early on in my life to show that like I was able to save and I really would be very conscientious about what I would buy. And then I think just as you get older and you grow up and you have all these different inputs coming at you and all these different marketing channels and all this different stuff, there was a time when we had a lot of stuff, right? My husband and I, we were living in Boulder. Our daughter was one. We decided we were working. We had a business. We were working from home. We said, we can do this from anywhere. We're like, why don't we do it from Europe? Why not? And so we sold 90% of what we owned. We sold our car. We sold most of our furniture. At the time, most of it was Craigslist stuff and whatever. So it didn't feel like this big thing. And we were only renting. So it was easy to just check out and go. Right. And it was amazing. We didn't need all that stuff. We didn't need as much stuff to live with. Fast forward, we came back. We tried, you know, the travel blogging. We thought we'd be travel bloggers, right? Well, that didn't work out. So we threw in the towel, came back, thought we would be good, moved near family in Des Moines, bought a house. Started to fill it with stuff because we didn't have anything. And then, of course, our friends and family are so generous and they were giving us stuff because, like we said, we sold 90% of what we owned and now we're filling a 3-bedroom home. And so before long, it was cluttered and we felt just like all this stuff weighing down on us. I ended up getting a job in Chicago. We moved again and moves are always a great way to be able to purge and let go of the stuff you don't need. We were able to be a lot more mindful of the things we brought with us, right? It was a lesson of, okay, pause, be able to say no, think about something before you bring it into your house. And just, I think having those experiences back to back was really helpful in saying, okay, life is feeling overwhelming. What's something that's happening now that wasn't happening? Because it's not like traveling with a one-year-old is stress-free. Let's go ahead and put that out there. But why am I so much more stressed now? Oh, I have all this stuff I'm trying to manage and clean and keep up with. And so it was just a really eye-opening way to be able to say, this is a stark contrast from this. And maybe there's a happy medium in here.
Oh my gosh, Deanna. Wow. I mean, listening to your story, it does make sense that the more you move, the easier it is to be aware of what you actually need, for sure. I've been in my house for 16 years now. We're settled.
Yeah, I get that.
And I want so badly to work toward decluttering, but there's just so much stuff and then it's all overwhelming. So what would you, if someone like me were to say, Deanna, how can I start? What would you recommend for someone who has lived in the same house for 16 years and is overwhelmed and super stressed? What would you say? What would you say first?
Yeah.
Where would somebody like me, asking for a friend?
Yes, for sure. Totally. Got it. Well, you have a choose your own adventure option. I'm going to give you two choices. Ooh. One, you get to either choose the area that is that you notice the least. Like that's going to be the easiest for you to say, oh my God, I haven't looked in this box in 5 years. I clearly don't need anything in here. So I'm going to look through it just in case there's some like super treasure that I would be devastated if I didn't have. Hint, there probably isn't, but just go with the lens of just so I at least know what I threw out. So that's option one. Start where there is zero attachment, the least amount of attachment that you can think of. The other option is to start where it's going to make the biggest difference in your day. So a lot of people, if they're working out of the home, a lot of women, I know that's going to be their closet because you're in there every day and the clothes we put on help us reflect out to the world how we're feeling about ourselves. It is, for better or for worse, it's the costume we put on to the world. And so being able to go through your closet and instead of saying, I have nothing to wear, but you have an entire closet full of stuff, you're going to go through it and you're going to try your clothes on and you're going to say, I feel good in this outfit. Or you're going to try it on and say, I don't feel that great when I wear this. And give yourself permission to let go of those clothes, because the more we hold on to the things that we don't actually feel good in or feel good about, it hides the stuff that we do love. The stuff we do love gets buried in it. And so it's not that you can't keep those things that are just so-so. Fine, you can. But it just makes it harder to find the things that you love. It makes it harder for those things that you love to come towards you. And then you actually save those things that you love because you think, well, those are my special things. But you are special. Every day is special. From if you listen to anybody who has lost a loved one or gone through a traumatic experience or suffered a natural disaster, things you didn't see coming, you start to then treasure those days you had, the regular everyday life. It's right. Special. And so we need to treat it as such and use those nice things. Don't save them for a rainy day because moths could get to them. A fire could come. There could be a flood. You could change sizes. Like the things you love may not be there when you actually want them. So use them today. Try on all your clothes. See if you like them. If that's too much, just start with one section. I try not to overwhelm because especially if you haven't gone through your stuff in a very long time. It can be very overwhelming to go through an entire category of things. If you take clothes, that might be too big. Try pants. Try t-shirts. Try jackets. And then especially as we get through a season. So we're coming off of, right, as we're recording this, we're coming out of fall or out of winter and into spring. So you're going to then have, what are the winter coats that I had that I didn't wear this season? Because if you didn't wear them this season, newsflash, you are not going to wear them next season. You just aren't. So that's where I like to start, especially as we're changing seasons. That's a really good place to be able to say like, all right, I didn't wear that. I'm not going to wear it. I know I'm not.
This podcast is supported by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. We've been using Active Skin Repair for a few months now, and I am seriously impressed. They use a molecule called hypochlorous acid, which is pretty much a superhero in skincare. It mimics your body's own immune response, helping to cleanse, soothe, and reduce inflammation to support the natural healing process. And let me tell you, it works for more than just scraped knees. Whether it's sunburns, rashes, or even more persistent issues like eczema or acne, Active Skin Repair has got you covered. The best part? It's totally safe and non-toxic. That means it's gentle enough for every skin type, from the little ones to grandma and everyone in between, making it the go-to for everyone in the family. I scraped my knuckle the other day while doing laundry, and my first thought was to grab the Active Skin Repair because, one, it doesn't sting like other products, and two, I knew it would help me heal faster. So if you're looking for a natural, effective way to handle boo-boos, check out Active Skin Repair. And because you're a listener, you can get 20% off your order. Visit ActiveSkinRepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair. And to get 20% off your order, use code CLUTTERFREE. Again, that's ActiveSkinRepair.com and use code CLUTTERFREE to get 20% off your order.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
I feel like you can see into my soul. Wow, that's really awesome. I love the way that you word it, because it can feel really overwhelming. And I feel like I know that I have a little bit of the hoarding gene. My mom was pretty bad like that. But I'm constantly trying like a little bit here and there. Like I'll take old clothes that I change sizes. I'll take them away to the food bank, to the clothing bank. But it's a bag here and there, which it does feel good, but there are still a lot of clothes. And it's not like I have a ton of clothes. I just have dresses that may or may not fit me. now. But then what if I lose or gain?
Yeah.
That's the hoarder in me. I know it.
Like, I get that.
What if?
Well, and I had to come to terms with the fact that I'm not a dress wearer. I don't wear dresses. And it's just a personal preference. Like, it's just not something I know that's not going to be the thing that I reach for. Right. I am a jeans and I'm a tighter jean and a slouchy shirt kind of girl, right? Or I'm a shorts. I'll wear some skirts, but I'm just not like a long dress, never going to happen. So sometimes you end up with those things in your closet and you think, oh, that's interesting that I bought that because I'm really not that kind of a person. Yeah. I don't wear those things, but
I have them for weddings.
Right? Well, keep the one. Keep the one that you love and you feel amazing in. I'm at a stage in my life where I don't really get invited to many weddings anymore. I was talking to a friend of mine. She's, we went to my second cousin removes wedding last weekend. And she's, I hadn't been to a wedding in ages. And I'm like, yep, I haven't been to a wedding in ages. And the next time I'm going to go to a wedding, it's either going to be my niece and nephew. They're in their 20s. So there's the next set I'll go to. And that's two weddings. And then my daughter's friends, like that's at the point where I'm going to be at. There's not going to be that many.
Your nine-year-old daughter.
My nine-year-old daughter. Yes. This is how far it's going to be between when I'm going to need to go to a wedding. So it's like, I have one nice dress in case we get invited somewhere. And that's it. I don't go out. Like, I don't need nice formal things. I don't work in a corporate setting anymore where I'm going to corporate events. And these are the things.
Right. So without dresses and stuff in your closet. No, seriously. What do you, do you just have it empty or do you put other, do you have a filing cabinet
Let's
or
see.
Something?
So our closet, I actually redid it when we had a small walk-in closet. So I redid it when my husband was on a work, he was on a trip with some friends. And so it was kind of like, I get into really like, that's like my little devious like place.
Yeah. You have the house to yourself.
I'm going to rip out this closet and put in organizers. This is what I do for fun when I have late nights to myself. I'm a little strange.
I do the same thing. I painted our bathrooms when my husband was away for 2 weeks.
There you go. See, we're meant to be friends. And so basically it was just one rack, like a U rack all the way around. Okay. So I just divided it and I put in, so we have a dresser in our bedroom that I am getting rid of. There's nothing in it. There is nothing in it. It's currently the stand for the TV, and we just need to come up with a time to put the TV on the wall. Yes, I'm one of those people that's a minimalist that has a TV in my bedroom. Don't shoot me. And so every once in a while, it's nice to have it, especially when we're going to start having sleepovers and the kids are going to be in the house and I want to be in my room.
Right.
There are different phases. And so—
Oh my gosh, your daughter is just about the age when she's going to start doing that.
No.
Oh, well, didn't she had someone over last week?
Yeah. Yeah. It's happening. So it's here. But so I got two like bookshelves actually from IKEA that have drawers on the bottom. So it's three shelves and then two drawers. So the drawers have our underwear and our socks and bathing suits and tights and things like that for me, my husband. And my husband's is just his underwear and his socks. And then I have like, I put two hanging bars on his side. And then I have a tall on mine. And like I said, it has the one dress, it has a jumper, it has coats. So like I do have one long coat that I still have in there. And then it has, then the other side is just my like hang up shirts. And then I actually put the hamper under the lower hanger. And normally the lower bar is just like my drying stuff that's drying.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a part of it that's probably empty.
A small closet, so it's not super empty, but it's not stuffed. Like all the hangers can move quite a bit.
Oh my gosh, yes, that is terrible, and that is part of why I've been going through myself, because I'm like, I push everything away. Yeah. And why is it the closets? What is wrong with us? Why do we do that?
Well, it's just like I said, and part of it is because we traveled so much, right? So because we traveled, we did two stints of traveling. After we lived in Chicago, we traveled again, which is what I was telling you before we started the interview. And so the first stint was when our daughter was one, we did 6 months. And the second stint, she was five, and we did almost a year and a half, not quite. And that second time, we just did carry-on for the first part of the trip. And then we came back, we did a visa reset, and we did 7 months almost 8 months in Germany, specific Munich. So we were there in an apartment. She went to kindergarten. And that time we did actually take a full suitcase with stuff. But right. Yeah.
All right. So you did Spain and Germany. But then the 6 month stint earlier, where did you?
So, yeah. So the first time when she was one, we did a month in each place. We did Airbnb and we would stay for a full month in each city. So we started in Granada, Spain, and then we did, oh, actually, we started in the UK. Sorry. We started in a little village called Buckden. It was just north of London, about 70 kilometers. And then we did, gosh, okay, this is going to take me back. It's going to take a minute. So from there, we did a 10-day road trip in Scotland. Then we went across to, did we do Germany at that point? Maybe. We did Germany and we did Greece for a week. We did Athens for a week. We did Granada, Spain. We did Olten, Switzerland. We have friends that live in Switzerland. So we stayed with them. And
with a one-year-old.
Yeah, with a one-year-old. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Awesome.
We had a travel crib. That time was not carry-on only. We had our big suitcase, but we had a travel crib that actually fit in our suitcase, which was amazing. It was the Phil and Ted's Traveler, and I love it. It would just, it would pop up. You put it together. It was great. Yeah.
Wow. Like a pop-up tent for a baby.
Kind of. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Crib. It was great.
Oh my gosh. That's so fun. The fact that you don't have, yeah, that you don't have pets and you don't have stuff. You can, you have that freedom to just do whatever, which is amazing. That is a good motivator.
Yeah. I was going to say, now our limitations are more on school, right? We have a 9-year-old. We always said we wanted to be settled. Both my husband and I have very traditional kind of upbringings, same house, our entire childhood type of a thing. And so we both had stable school environments and we wanted that for our daughter as well. So we did switch schools, but we stayed in the same district after COVID. And so it's just now we're okay. We're here. We're not going anywhere, but we still have the flexibility without the stuff. We're going to hopefully take a trip this summer. So yeah.
School vacations, man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Very cool. Well, I'm sure I have other questions. I'm so fascinated. Like I don't know. I feel like you're speaking to my soul, and it's things that I know, have known, but yeah. I'm so inspired to do more just by talking to you, like just hearing how freeing it sounds. I want some of that.
All right. Well, I will give you some other tips. I will answer some questions you're not even asking because I know you're going to have them. So one, I would also say work on your systems. That is a way for you to be able to get rid of your clutter without even having to do a big declutter session. Because I'm going to say no one really likes decluttering. You tell me, right? Is it a big thing you're really into? No, of course not. If you did, you wouldn't have the stuff, right? So no one really likes the decluttering part. It's hard. It's emotional. It's tough. It's draining. It's mental. It's sentimental. You just feel it's not a great feeling. So one way you can make the process easier is by having just different little systems in place. Set up a central donation box in your house. And every time you come across something that you're like, pop it in the box, right? It doesn't just magically disappear. You're going to have to take the box at some point, but at least it gives you a place to put your stuff that you're like, I don't think I need this. And then if a week goes by and you're like, okay, it's time for me to take this box. If you haven't gone to take anything out of that box, then you can feel comfortable letting it go. Because you're like, I put it in there and haven't needed it. Now I can let go of it.
That's clever.
Also, put one of those boxes in your closet. Every time you get dressed, if you keep skipping over, you notice you keep skipping over a shirt or a pair of pants or a thing. And you're like, I'm not wearing this because this. And you're not even going to say it out loud. But you're going to definitely have that mental conversation going on.
Just push right past it every time.
By the third time, say, okay, clearly I'm not going to wear this.
Message received.
In the box. Right? Because it's just, that's an easy way for you to do it. So you're not going to have to sit there. Don't turn the hanger thing is good, right? Everyone tells you, turn your hangers around. And if you don't turn it back around, you haven't worn it. You're not going to turn it around, blah, 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 that thing. Great. If that works for you, do it. But sometimes just that act of having to turn the hangers around, you're just not going to do it. So just if you pass over it or you put it on and you're like, nope, take it off immediately in the box. Don't even make that hard decision one time and it'll just start to work its way out. The other thing is shop less. And this could be clothing. This could be groceries. This could be toiletries. This can be anything. Use up what you have. Make an inventory of it. If you're like, okay, I got toothpaste, right? How long did it really take me? I opened this tube on. You can even just start it in a notes, start a sheet, docs, Google Docs or something. You should be like, okay, I opened this toothpaste on April 1st. How long did it take me until I was done with that toothpaste? Well, shockingly, it took me 5 weeks to get through that tube of toothpaste or however long it took. I don't know.
Right.
And then you can say,
I really need 7 of them.
I don't need more. When I go to the store, I can be confident knowing I've got 2 backups, right? I generally like to just have 1 in backstock because I know once I open that next one, it goes on my list.
Right.
That way, I don't have a lot of inventory to have to deal with. I just have the one. And I have the one, it gives me the peace of mind that I'm not going to have to rush out to the store to get something. I'm not going to have to cut open the toothpaste and scrape it out if I run out, which is totally fine if you want to. Because again, we'll talk about sustainability. And I have this joke, I have this post I'm going to make of the 2 different types of people. We'll get there in a second. Anyway, with toothpaste. Remind me to come back to it.
Okay.
But like, those are the kinds of things that are like, we stock up on things because they seem like they're a good deal. They're on sale at the time. We don't want to miss the deal. But those things come in cycles. And by the time it comes back on sale, you probably still have 5 in your closet or in your cabinet or in your cupboard. And so I think we can just say, okay, this took me just being a little more aware of the things we have. This took me this long to get through. My deodorant takes me a couple months to get through. My shampoo bottle, oh my God, I haven't bought shampoo in 4 months. Like, I don't need that much in back stock. Or just totally bypass that and just have 1. And then, you know, when you open that back stock, it goes on the shopping list and you buy it next time you go. And the less times you can go to the store, the less times you have to say no to those impulse buys. Right?
Yeah.
Because we've all been there. I fall prey to them too. I cannot go into Costco without a shopping list. And I always let myself have 2 impulse buys. At Costco. That's it. I give myself wiggle room because I know otherwise I will feel deprived. But I try to be very good about what's on my list. And then they're always going to have the samples and the kid's always going to want something that wasn't on the list or we're going to forget one thing. And so I try to give myself wiggle room of having 2 extra things we can have in the basket that aren't on the list.
Again, so that's not even just yours. That those 2 things include everyone in the house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Now, you might give yourself a little more wiggle room when you first start out. I've been doing this for a while, so I have a little practice. Be kind to yourself when you first start and look at it as a learning process, right? This isn't something that we have to be amazing at overnight. We didn't start off speaking. We didn't start off running. We started with baby words and crawling and walking. And so just how we do everything else, we got to learn. So.
Cool. That's awesome. Now tell me, does your husband play this game? I talk to my husband and say, when you take the last of something or rather, just put it on the list. And it doesn't always happen.
Yeah. Sometimes it's more of a, hey, I just used the last, right? So sometimes they're not going to make it to the stage where they have the list, right? And also, before I go to the store, I generally tend to walk around my house and be like, okay, check the closet, check the bathroom. We got a toothpaste. We've got the deodorant. Okay, everything's here, right? Like you start to understand, like I said, this is a process. I keep my stuff in the same place. So I know where it is.
Right.
I know where to check.
Well, and you have less stuff. So it's not so.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I have my cabinet that has my back stock in it and I know where to go. So it makes it a little bit easier to then
do a quick scan.
Wait, I think we're on. Did you use the last toothpaste? Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Got it. So, yeah.
Cool.
Just being like, right, we all make mistakes. I make mistakes. So I don't try to hold people to a perfect standard. I'm just like, oh, yeah, right. It's a busy day. We forgot something. No big deal. So, yeah.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it. No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Okay, that's cool. So what was the thing that you were gonna come back to?
Okay. The toothpaste. So I know you talk about sustainability. And so one of the things I like to do is I like to use every last ounce. I try to use everything up. And so I have this post of there's two kinds of people when it comes to toothpaste. The one that I take the toothpaste and I run it along the edge of the vanity and I get it all at the top and I squeeze out every last drop of toothpaste. And my husband's just, here, I'm going to squeeze this one. He gets the new one and squeezes it out.
Look at how much easier this one is with all the toothpaste in it.
Yeah. So does he play the game in some things, right? Yeah. We all play the games in the things that matter to us.
Right.
And not in all the same ways.
Totally. Yeah. Well, we are human beings and we have needs. Yeah. That's really
if we
cool.
If the same, life would be boring.
Right. So. Okay, so toothpaste. Was that the whole thing?
That was it. That was it. Just the two different kinds of people with toothpaste. Yeah, with toothpaste.
Gotcha. I've been making my own tooth powder for a bunch of years, but I have really bad teeth. And so the dentist told me that I should use a special toothpaste, which just drives me crazy because I hate the tubes for that reason. Yeah. And then there's the waste part, which is just hard. But so that's a struggle for me.
I get that. Yeah. But I use.
I have lots of struggles.
It's supposedly recyclable. So yeah.
What is it called?
I think it's Quip. So Quip. It's they deliver to you every 3 months. It's a subscription. But they claim to be more sustainable and they're. Packaging is all recyclable and the tube is supposedly recyclable.
Oh, that's cool. There's also a company called Bite, and it's little tablets that you can buy chew them and then brush your teeth. I have some of those.
I will have to check that out.
Yeah. Cool. We actually have a refill store that just opened up in our town. And so they have stuff like that. I bought mouthwash tablets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
But it's cool to not have to deal with the packaging, especially with a refill. Yeah. You can just bring your old one.
Right. Yeah.
I do love that. Anyway, so we've talked about decluttering. We've talked about weeding through stuff and methods to not contribute to clutter, etc. And so the benefits I'm getting are you feel lighter, you just feel free.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And you can clean easier.
Yes. I have to clean less. You because have, you know yeah. what's dirty.
Yeah. I know. I hate dusting. I hate dusting. I used to work at a hotel and I had to dust. And now that I have my own place, I'm just like, I don't want stuff. I don't want stuff on the walls because I really don't want to dust it. And here we are with a bunch of stuff on the walls and I just don't dust it. We just have little dust bunnies hanging out. And if you make too much wind walking by, there's going to be a dust bunny on the floor. But so then the benefit of that would be your house is cleaner and you feel... It must just feel so much better. So I'm going to be working on that. I might just.
Yeah.
And so you were saying that you are working toward coaching business.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm hoping to do this kind of a thing where I'm talking to people more on a one-to-one basis, because right now I'm just basically giving people free advice through the podcast. But I've found that it's not, you know, it's definitely beneficial. There's lots of nuggets out there. And 146 episodes, you're definitely going to learn something there. But I do feel like it's more, I love speaking to people. I love diving in and figuring out what it is that really are their problems. Right? What are the things that really, what is that one thing that if they could just tweak it a little bit would be that first domino to fall and just really help you on that journey and just letting go of all the chaos. Because I found that when I had stuff, like so much stuff, I can't concentrate. It makes everything else chaotic. I'm spinning plates. I'm just, everything is going and I can't focus. And that wasn't who I wanted to be. That wasn't the mom I wanted to be. That wasn't the wife I wanted to be. It wasn't the woman I wanted to be. And so by letting go of the stuff, I'm able to focus on the stuff that matters. And I want to help other people do that. So yes, I'm working on creating probably a program that would be more of a group coaching session where people could also learn from others. Because I think sometimes we can think we're in this silo all by ourselves and we're the only person that's experiencing this problem and we're the only ones that have all this stuff. And we get so embarrassed by that. And it holds us back. It really does hold us back in how we present ourselves to ourselves and to the world. And I just want the world to be filled with women that are just lit up and just want to go out into the world and just be on fire to do whatever they believe in, make the world a more eco-friendly place and not be held back by this. I feel like women, when they have a lot of stuff, they just feel like they're holding on to a dirty little secret on them. They don't feel like they're really who they want to be. And so that's what I really want to help with.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's amazing. And so if 146 episodes, you said the 146 drops tomorrow. And this is all about decluttering and systems to make your life easier. You know some stuff, man.
I've got stuff all over. It's really fun. So what I love is it's not just decluttering stuff. Yes, it's decluttering your stuff. It's organizing with systems. It's mindsets behind letting stuff go. This week, I'm talking about that idea of trying to find the perfect recipient for your stuff and how that's a hurdle that people let themselves, that hold people back because they think, I think there's a guilt that we have this stuff and if I don't get it to the right person, it's going to go in the landfill. And I feel guilty because I spent a lot of money on it. So I want it to go and be used and all this kind of stuff. And I think we just have to understand that once we buy it, it is going to go to the landfill. Yeah, the problem is once it's made, it's going to go in the landfill at some point, whether we're the ones using it, someone else is using it, it doesn't get purchased. So I think there's a lot of that guilt that we put on ourselves that isn't helpful to us in the long run, because it just holds us back. And I'm not saying go hog wild and buy all the stuff. Clearly, I don't want us to go buy all the stuff. But I also don't want us to feel bad about, this is where that non-judgment, letting go and learning and understanding that life is a learning experience comes in of just, okay, maybe I made a mistake on that. I'm going to be better next time and being okay with that. And so, and then my guests are all over the gambit. So I talk a lot to moms. So I've got guests that have talked about parenting, guests that have talked about picky eating, guests that have talked about other minimalists on the show and what their life is. I find those episodes to be really fun too. So I've got all sorts of fun things on there that'll help.
That's so cool. I think I listened to the picky eating one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Dr. Sam, she's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great.
Oh, my gosh. So that, gosh, you just, I love when I have an idea where the conversation is going to go. And then it's just so much better than I could have imagined. I'm so grateful to you for doing this, Deanna. I'm so glad for your journey. I'm so glad that our paths crossed and we get to have this conversation. So when I say the word sustainability to you, what does that mean? Because like I would say like minimalism, yeah. It's also a very complex word.
For sure. I definitely agree with that. For me, it's being mindful of what you are using. And so it might not necessarily be, right? For you, sustainability, you were talking about making your toothpaste. That's not a route that I'm going to go, but it's be mindful that I don't buy the 7 tubes of toothpaste. I buy the 1 tube of toothpaste that I'm going to use up, and I will use every last drop of that toothpaste. It's being mindful of the things that we bring into our home. It's understanding like, okay, I don't actually wear that many clothes. So my closet is not filled with that many clothes. I wear a very neutral color palette. I wear a lot of denim and a lot of black, white, and some green. And so just knowing that I don't need a lot of that stuff, I try to be cognizant of where I buy my things and who I am buying from, because I can get down on myself all day long for needing stuff. But the thing is, we need stuff, and I can just be a little bit better about where I buy that stuff.
Awesome. I love that. Being mindful is so important. It's not necessarily I'm not going to do that or I'm going to do that, but just what does that actually mean? And I think that's what I'm catching from what you're saying a lot. Like you don't have to punish yourself for buying something extra, or if you didn't buy something and you should have, or anything like that. It's just, oh, well, maybe I didn't need that. And give yourself some grace, which I think it's brilliant. We're all so hard on ourselves.
We are. Women especially. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I think, so with sustainability, I know personally, like it feels like a lot of the time it's like an all or nothing. Like I have to be super sustainable person or I'm a big jerk, but it doesn't have to be like that. And so we're learning ways that we can ease into it, or something that's not going to be life-changing, buying less stuff or decluttering. It's not like moving mountains, but it's going to make a difference. Even if it's not for the whole world, it's for you making a difference. You're going to feel better going into the world.
Yes, exactly.
Which is brilliant.
And I think, too, that if you fight to try to be the least possible, right? I don't know that is possible in today's day and age, right? There are going to be the people that live with the 100 things, but did he really live with just 100 things, or was there some...
Was it 100 for him and 100 for his daughter?
Right. Or so you didn't own that, so it didn't really count. Or we all live in houses. We don't, if we're not going to be like Native Americans and living completely off the land and using every single iota of resource that comes out of everything we use, then there's always going to be that moment of, well, I could have done better. Okay, sure. But I'm doing better than I did yesterday. And I'm doing better than, it's a sliding scale, right? We're all on this. Like this, I don't use anything and I use everything, right? Like I'm not going to name people because I'm not going to be mean. There's celebrities that have everything under the sun. I have 10 houses. I have a luxurious yacht. I use private jets. Like on the scale of things, people like you and I, we're doing better than we did yesterday and we're using a lot less resources than a lot of people. Now, could we do better? Sure. That's what we're on this journey for. That's what we're working toward. And that's what we're learning every day.
Right. That's why we're talking. Awesome. Oh my gosh. So I'm hoping that I'm not the only one who's totally inspired by this. So if my listeners and their friends and family, I need Deanna in my life, how can people find you, follow you, stalk you? I don't know.
Sure. Come stalk away. So I'm on Instagram at wannabeclutterfree. And so you can find me on there, DM me, send me a message. I'd love to hear from you. My podcast is Wannabe Minimalist, and you can find that wherever you like to listen to podcasts. The website's Wannabe Clutter Free. I'm not hard to find. So you just Google Deanna Yates, you will find me.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. So yeah. That's where I was confused. The Instagram yes. and the podcast yes. have different names, but it's the same, meaning. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. I'm not crazy. I
You are
it.
Not. You are correct. Yeah. The podcast is just oddly named.
Not oddly at all. I have been following Joshua Becker, the wannabe
Becoming Minimalist.
Becoming Minimalist.
Yeah.
And yes. Yeah, I've been following for many years, and there are a lot of really great posts that are inspiring, but it's so different to hear it than it is to read it.
Yeah.
To see your face and how bright your house is and how clean it is. Aww. And I'm like,
dang.
Yeah, I have some work to do, but it feels more attainable in the way that you say it, not like you have to get rid of all these things and you have to have nothing and you have to live in a tiny house. And I have too much stuff for tiny
house. That is okay. I think we as a family would kill each other in a tiny house. More power to people that can do it. Same. I am just not in a place in my life where that is necessary.
Yeah.
So,
but I find a lot of things are very much like that. Like you either are or you aren't. It's like the whole black and white thing is really hard to be around if you don't fall into either of those categories. So if you're not all in or all out, who are you and where are you? So I like the way that you put it. I'm just going to hang out with you because I like the
way hang out.
You make me feel like I have a chance.
Oh, we all have a chance. You definitely have a chance for sure. The stuff you do with sustainability is way further than some of the stuff I do. So we all have our wheelhouses where we feel more comfortable and areas that we can go further in, that we feel more comfortable going further in. And I think we lean into those and we, like you said, give ourselves a little bit of grace on the areas where we're like, maybe that's not my strong suit. And that is totally okay.
Right. And just try harder next time.
Try harder. Exactly. If it bothers you, try harder. Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So what did you think? Did you like getting to me? So what did you think? Did you like getting to hear me in the hot seat? I would love to know your thoughts. Reach out and let me know. You can come on over to the Wannabe Minimalist group on Facebook and comment on this episode's discussion post, or you can comment on Instagram or send me a DM. I'm at wannabeclutterfree on there. Or you can send an email to deanna@wannabeclutterfree.com. I would love to connect with you. So reach out and tell me what resonated with you the most on today's episode, or just come on over and say hi. And thank you to Amy for having me on the Grounded in Maine podcast. I love getting to chat with others and share my experiences. She is a gracious host, and I look forward to connecting again in the future. Be sure you check out her podcast if you are looking for more information about sustainability, as she has some great information to share. And that just about wraps it up for today, so thank you for joining me. If you liked this episode, could you be so kind as to leave me a rating and a review wherever you are listening to this show? You can leave a comment on Spotify, a review on Apple Podcasts, and a star rating pretty much everywhere else. I would really appreciate your feedback, and I love hearing your thoughts on the show, so thank you so much. Next week, I am chatting with Michaela Bucanieri about decluttering when you are in a step family household. It was a completely new perspective for the podcast, and it was an enlightening conversation to have. Even if you're not part of a step family, Michaela shares some really great advice about working with different personalities, so I know you'll get something out of it no matter your family dynamic. I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wannabe Clutter Free. Cheers. I'll see you next week.
Hey there. I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting Podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.